Barbara, you mentioned that you had something you'd like to share, and let me just bring a microphone to you, and you can, you won't have to come up front, but you're welcome to walk around, do whatever you want to do there. Go ahead.
Well, last Sunday I came to church, and I asked the pastor to pray for my son, and I can hardly speak. I can feel the presence of the Lord so strong here today. My brother was taken to the hospital in the emergency ward last Friday, a week ago. And he had had emphysema for several years. And he wasn't getting enough oxygen. And they took him in, and at first they thought that he could be diagnosed with TB. But they weren't sure, and they were going to run a test. The test came back negative, but when they took x-rays, both lungs were totally white, and they thought that it was cancer. However, they could not take a biopsy. He was too weak for that. And he was having a terrible time breathing, even with the oxygen mask that you get at the hospital, which covers your whole face. And his oxygen level kept dipping way down. It was going down even into the 60s. Mm. And I don't know whether it went down a little farther than that or not, but it would bounce around. And he couldn't get enough oxygen. Then we prayed, the pastor prayed here for him. And I asked for salvation for him as well, because he has not been willing to talk about the Lord in his life or anything to do with Christianity or church. And the next thing I knew, I had heard, I believe it was on Monday, that they had diagnosed, instead of the other disease, that they thought it was cancer, and that his lungs, like I said, the x-rays showed totally white in both lungs, and they gave him just a few months. Well, I just heard yesterday that they were going to let him go home. He did get off of the oxygen while he was shortly, the first of the week, he got off the big oxygen mask, and they were able to give him the small oxygen with just the hose. Mm-hmm. And that I heard, I think it was about, in fact, I think I was with you when I heard it. That was about Tuesday. Well, I got a call from my sister last night, and they were going to let him go home because he could, you know, have oxygen. Mm-hmm. And I guess they felt that there wasn't a lot they could do for him. Well, they took another x-ray in the meantime, and his lungs look so much better.
Praise God.
And he is walking around. He is still on oxygen. But he can walk around the length of the oxygen hose, and he is slowly getting much better.
Amen. Amen.
And my sister talked to my sister-in-law last night and said, well, we've all been praying for him. And she said, well, a lot of people have been praying for him. So I just really feel that the Lord is healing him.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
He is going to draw him to him.
Amen.
That it's going to be a real miraculous. In fact, just what's taken place so far is miraculous.
Right.
That the improvement that he's showing from last week. I wouldn't have given him a chance to even hardly survive the week or two.
Wow.
And
praise God.
He is bouncing back.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. You believe with me for his salvation?
Yes.
Do you believe that he's born again?
Yes.
You believe that he's going to walk in the light?
Yes.
Know the truth, and the truth will set him free. He that knows Yeshua aright, the Bible says, to know him aright is life indeed. And that's what we claim for George. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Pastor,
yes.
One of the reasons
they want some therapy now and to watch at, look at it, yeah. Good. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to confuse doctors, isn't it? I just love the way God confuses doctors. Praise God. That's what's supposed to be happening, people. People's supposed to get better. You know, we've had three testimonies of cancer healing right here in this church. Three. In the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. And that should be happening all the time. We believe for it. Do you believe for it? I when I hear cancer, it doesn't do what it used to do to me. I used to think cancer equals dead. But it doesn't mean that. Cancer is just an attack. And Jesus Christ has a name that's above every name. And that means His name is above cancer. Amen? Cancer is under our feet. It's under His feet. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God? Who needs a Bible today? Does anybody need a Bible? If you hold your hands up, some of you guys can just make sure that some Bibles are spread around. Put your hand up when they start coming around with them. Praise God. I always want to read the Word. It's good to have your own because I've learned this. A Bible is a special holy book, but the paper itself isn't holy, and it's all right to mark and write and highlight and make sure you know what it says. Amen? And if somebody helps you to understand something, you can write a little note beside it. Amen? That's not adding to the Word of God. You can't do that unless you have a printer, right? We're just adding our comments to it, putting stars beside it and things like that. Amen. Read the Word. Check the Word. See if the things you're being taught are really the things of the Spirit. Amen. That's how you can tell it, is by checking it out for yourself. There's a lot of words being spoken today, and a lot of it's just religion. We're not big proponents of religion, at least not the religion that we hear about. There is a true religion and undefiled that the Bible speaks of, which is ministering to the orphans and the widows in their affliction. Amen? That's a true religion. But we're not so much into this form, and we don't know too much about hermeneutics and homiletics and all those terms that come out of the seminary. But we do know this, that God's Word is true, and that Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said that about Himself. He said, I change not. I change not. And so as we study the Word, know this, that the truths that come out of it are eternal truths. They've always been. They'll never change. That's why it's so ridiculous for people to take part of the Bible and say, well, this part doesn't apply anymore. And they just get rid of that. One old fellow I knew, he was an old Pentecostal preacher. He said, they started telling me, well, this was just for the Hebrews. And this was just for the people in the time of the prophets. And this is just for the 144,000. You get on the other end, you get to the 144,000. He said, by the time they'd taken all the stuff that was just for other people away, all I had was just leather covers. And he said, I decided I wasn't going to read the Bible that way. If it says it, I believe it. Say this with me. Say, God said it. That settles it. Now, you probably have heard that in a different way before. You probably have heard that God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But I like to say it just like this. God said it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not. If I'm smart, I'll believe it, right? And so I encourage you today to believe what God's Word says, and don't get into dispensationalism. Some of you may not even know what that is. Don't get into the idea that there was a dispensation for the Jew and there's a dispensation for the church. In my opinion, the Bible should never have been separated into New and Old Testaments. Never should have been separated. Is there a new covenant in my blood? Yes. But that didn't mean that the Word of God was to be separated. The words that Yeshua spoke in Matthew are just perfectly lined up with what He spoke in Genesis. You say, do you mean Jesus said something in Genesis? My Bible doesn't have any red letter in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeshua was from the beginning. From the foundation of the earth, the Bible said He was slain. Say, I don't understand. You don't have to. You just get to benefit. Amen? There's things we don't understand about time and eternity. But we get to be a beneficiary of what He's done for us. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to look in John 10:27. I want you all to recognize that God calls us sheep. How many of you know that Jesus, in all of much of John, but especially in the 9th and 10th chapter, He's talking about, I am the shepherd of the sheep. Well, He wasn't talking about a bunch of ovine creatures, was He? He was talking about us. He was talking about people. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. He said that a hireling, and I think this is what we've done to our many of our pastors nowadays, is we hire them. We just hire them. And we fire them. Have you ever been in a church where the pastor got fired? Thank God I haven't been in a church where that's happened. I have been in a church where some people thought they could. But I've seen it right in this community. I've seen pastors fired. I've seen pastors hired. And he said the hireling doesn't love the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep because he's just a hireling. Some people were telling me the other day about a pastor that came in and filled in for a time in their church. And when they asked him or would talk to him about certain things, he'd say, well, I wasn't hired to do that. I was just hired to come in here and preach on Sunday and Wednesday. That's all I was hired to do. Does that sound like a shepherd to you? When I was a boy, I used to go to a country school. Most of you don't even know what a country school looks like, but this country school was the only building for a half a mile. It sat there. There was the schoolhouse. It was a white building. I still remember it really well. Had a shingle roof on it, and then off to this side was a little small building, one room, and that's where the teacher lived. Because remember, this school was a ways away from people's houses. Back in the back was a barn where the kids used to ride horses to school. By the time I went there, most of us came in cars. And then on either side of the barn, there was a men's and a ladies, an outdoor toilet. And back on the other side, there was a little shed where they kept the coal for the coal stove. And that was a one-room country schoolhouse. We had a pump in between the teacher's house and the schoolhouse where we got our water. Most of you never went to a school like that, did you? Go to a one-room country schoolhouse? I'm not quite sure why I told you that story. I know it fits in somehow. It'll probably come back to me. Help me get back on the track with my rabbit trail. Took me a little far off here. We'll get back to it when it comes to me. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, now I know where it was. We were so far out in the country that right there was a fence just beyond that coal house. And periodically, the farmer would lease out his land to herds of sheep. This is where I learned about watching sheep herders. And you know what? If you took a job herding sheep, how many hours a day were you on duty? Huh? 24 hours a day. Now, it's true that they would put them in a place where they were safe at night, a pen. They would keep them in a pen at night. But they were right there with the sheep. They had a little, these guys had a little, probably the original Airstream. It was just a little gambrel roof kind of thing that they slept in. They had those up in Montana? See that? And one thing I remember about these sheep herders was that even on hot days, they wore a lot of clothes. That doesn't have anything to do with anything except, you know, probably comes back to the third world where people protected themselves from the sun with clothes, unlike what we do today when the sun shines, we take everything off, don't we? Some of us do. At least society does. But they were, you know, they were with those sheep all the time. They took care of them when they were sick. See, there's something different. Now, it's true, these fellows were hired to do the job, but you know what? They cared for the sheep. This is what I want you to get into, that Yeshua cares for the sheep. And he says this about himself. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know the sheep." How many of you have ever looked at 50 sheep in one place, or 100 sheep in one place? Pretty hard to differentiate, isn't it? Yeshua says, "I know them all." Do you ever pray for the world? You ever really pray? Because the Bible says you're supposed to pray for all men. "I will that men pray first of all for all men," is what Paul told Timothy. What do you see when you begin to pray for all men? What does all men look like? It's faceless, isn't it? It suddenly has just a generic look to it. Much the way the untrained eye looks at sheep. But a shepherd knows his sheep. And they follow him. I've told the story before that Jay Keller tells about being in Israel, where the sheep herders were taking their sheep in and out, and they share pastures. Different flocks share the same high meadows. And he said they'll bring them out in the morning. And unlike cattle, have any of you ever done anything with cattle? What do you do with cattle? We drive cattle. It's called a cattle drive. You get behind them and you hoop and holler, and some people crack a whip. Some of them are swinging a lasso to keep the cattle moving. They drive them. Sheep don't do that. The shepherd goes out walking, and the sheep follow him. And he says, "I've watched this happen." Now, I have to tell you, in this country, a lot of people treat sheep more like cattle. Have a lot of dogs working them. But sheep follow. Now, I'm saying all of this to get into what we've been talking about for weeks, and that is hearing God. Hearing God. We've talked about delightful prayer. And one of the reasons prayer isn't delightful to people is because people think when they pray they're supposed to do all the talking. They think they're supposed to barrage heaven with a rat-a-tat-tat machine gun type prayer. Get it all out. All of our requests. And that's mainly what prayer consists of to most people, is just requests. And so people get into doing just what Jesus said we shouldn't do, and that is thinking that they will be heard for much speaking. I like the way Keith prays. I really do. Keith prays softly. For my old ears, sometimes I have to listen carefully. But I'll tell you what, he prays concisely. I like to pray with Keith because he prays concisely. He talks to God. But he's also not afraid to stop for a little bit and listen. He doesn't have to be doing something else. He doesn't have to intersperse. And this is, I'm talking as what I believe is correct for all of us. You don't have to intersperse your prayer with song. There's a place for song in prayer. But there are times for this being prayer. My dad used to pray like this. I used to think he was just boring. I really did. My dad would get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5, sit down in a chair, open his Bible, and sit there, read. And he'd stop. He'd read. Now, I'd go to sleep if I read at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't know about you, but that's not easy for me to stay awake a lot of time. But that's what he'd do. What was he doing? Well, I didn't ever understand that there's a listening part of prayer. In fact, it may be the most important part of prayer, because who has the most to say? Could I ask you that? You or God? What matters most, what you say or what God says? Now, as we taught, we said, if you want to make your part of prayer the most effective, what will you say? You'll say what God says. You will speak His word, mutter His word, meditate His word, as the Scripture says, day and night. But then I want you to know something. There's a time just to stop and listen and wait. And we've discovered that the ears, in fact, the Bible says this about unbelievers, but unfortunately it happens to believers too, their ears become heavy so that they cannot hear. Have you heard that? And what's the result of not hearing? Not receiving, right? They don't receive. They won't receive the things that are for them. So Jesus said, my sheep, I'm a sheep. Any sheep here? Good, I see one, two, three, four, five. Wow, it's growing into a multitude of sheep. Welcome, flock. Say this with me. Say, I am a sheep. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. He knows me, and I follow Him. Well, that's good. Now, I want you to know that in this day in which we live, there are all kinds of voices going on all the time. A mama knows about voices. I used to have a little girl that everybody said, she's so quiet. She wasn't with us. From the day Kathleen learned to talk, she never shut up. She just talked and talked and talked. And I'm going to send her this CD so she doesn't listen to it. Why, she won't know I've been talking about her. But she just talked and talked. There's voices all the time. You hear it. Do you hear a lot of voices in your home? A lot of talking going on in your house? Yeah, sure. So we have that. But then also, most of us have a television set. And some people keep the television set on all the time. It's kind of what is it? Well, yeah, it's entertainment, but it goes beyond entertainment to some people. If they don't have a noise going, somehow they get antsy. They got to have noise. And kids nowadays, we've got something in each ear all the time. My grandson was working over at City Market, and they require that you'd only have one earphone in for safety's sake. So everybody over there walks around with one earphone in, listening to music. There's noise going on. We get in the car, first thing a lot of people do, turn on the radio, put in a CD, turn on the tapes. Cars nowadays even have DVD players, you know. We've got noise going all the time. And so we've become a nation of people that we have to be almost always occupied with some kind of entertainment, but it doesn't really... For entertainment, a lot of times, it's just noise. And what happens to us is, when God tries to talk, He's got to get through the noise. Jonathan said it this morning, be still. Look at your neighbor and tell him, be still. Be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Another scripture says, in quietness and in confidence, you shall gain your strength. I'm talking to you about listening to God. And we've gone through the aids that God has for us. God has some supernatural hearing aids. The Word of God teaches us what God sounds like. The Word of God is a spiritual tuning fork. Isn't it? It puts us on the right frequency. It's like a tuning into the right area. And you know, I can't tell you how much this has meant to me through my life. When I began to study the Word of God, I mean in earnest, I probably did like everybody else did. I started in Genesis, and by the time I got to Leviticus, quit a number of times. Did you ever do that? pretty easy to read Genesis and Exodus, but I'll tell you what, there's parts of Leviticus that are tough going. And there's parts of the genealogy. You know what the genealogies are, don't you? That's the begots. The begots. This one begot that one and begot that one, begot that one. Boy, that can get pretty boring. But you know what? When I really got in, I remember it in 1967. It started in June in 1967. I began to read the Word of God. And I began to hide the Word of God in my heart. And I don't mean to tell you that I did a rote memory project. I just began to read the Word. Now, at this particular time, I wasn't sure of my position with God. I had been born again when I was about 10 years old. But I'd walked away from God for years. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've done the same thing. There may be someone here today that in your younger days you knew the voice of God and you loved being with Him. But all of a sudden, as you've grown a little older, you suddenly feel estranged from God. And I can remember my parents taking me to church. And I'll tell you what, I didn't like it because they always got to the time when I would suddenly start feeling very uneasy again. Because I wasn't sure. I'd been born again, and yet I hadn't been walking with God, and my life was cold and dead. I said all of that because in 1967, when I was 23 years old, I began to read the Word of God. And I read it for me. And I read it like it was speaking to me. And I read it over and over and over again. I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes, 4 to 4:30, to read the Word. And guess what? I didn't even go to sleep. I was going to work at 6 o'clock at that time, so I had to get up at about 4 to get my Bible reading going. And I would read, but I wasn't reading it like a program. You ever been in a Bible reading program? You all know about them, don't you? These Bible reading programs where you have to read so many chapters a day. Interestingly enough, you can do that very simply, you know. Given 10 or 15 minutes a day, you can read through the whole Scripture in a year. People ought to be ashamed that we're not reading the Scripture through, don't you think? And yet if I ask for a show of hands today, how many people do you think could say I've read the Bible through in the last year? Not many. Not many. We're different. So why is it we don't hear from God? Well, we're not tuned to His voice. But those that read the Word and those that study the Word, and even more so those that meditate, say meditate with me, meditate the Word of God, they hear the voice of God. They begin to hear Him. And I was marveling the other day as I was praying. I was just talking to God, and I talked for a little bit, and all of a sudden He began to give me guidance in areas. You say, how did He do it? Well, I want to tell you how He didn't do it. He didn't say, Terry, my son. It wasn't like a prophecy. It was an inner knowing that just started coming up on the inside of me. And I still always, even though it happens to me regularly, I still marvel when it happens. Because I'm hearing from God. You want to know how I hear from Him? He lives in me. He dwells in my spirit. So He doesn't have to say, Terry. It's in here. It's that knowing, that understanding that starts to come into me. And I recognize that this is what I've been saying all these years. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. I know you, Lord. You know me. I know what your voice sounds like because I've stayed in the Word of God. And the way He does this is by the Holy Spirit that's given to us. Many people who read the Bible read it as a textbook. You ever read the Bible as a textbook? Or even more so, I call it read for speed. Got to get through this. You get done, what'd you read? I don't know, but I'm done. I read the Bible through this year. What did it say? I don't know, but I got done. Amen. It said right on the end there. That's what it said, so I know I'm done. Well, that's not what we're looking for, is it? We're looking for quality, understanding, knowing the voice of the Good Shepherd, recognizing it clearly. God wants me to hear His voice. Why? Because he's speaking. God speaks and he wants every believer to hear him. The Word of God is a great aid to hearing. The Spirit of God is an aid to hearing. Teaches us the voice of the Spirit. We talked last week that on Shavuot, the Lord gave a further dimension of the work of the Holy Spirit. Shavuot being also known as what? Shavuot is known as what? Pentecost. We Greco-Roman Christians, we Western Christians, renamed all of the feasts of God, didn't we? We thought somehow we had better names for them, and so we took the name Shavuot, which means 50. No. Well, I guess it does. Shavuot. No, it means 7. 7 weeks. It's the Feast of Weeks. And we changed it to Pentecost, which means 50. Same thing, except one comes out of the Greek and the other one comes out of the Hebrew. But Shavuot, on the day of Shavuot, first of all, God gave Torah, the Word of God, didn't he? Thousands of years later, after Jesus had been crucified and ascended into heaven, 50 days after that Passover, when the Lamb of God was slain, God sent a comforter to us, the Holy Spirit of God, to empower us, to give us a new dimension of living. And in that dimension of living, he gave us other tongues. Other tongues. What's important about tongues? We talked about it last week. The believer can now communicate with God, not only with his mind and emotions, but directly in the Spirit through the gift of tongues. It's an important gift. It's been demeaned by many in denominations. It's been de-emphasized even by many who believe in it. One pastor that I know says we don't really practice it much in our church. We kind of hold back on it. Why? Well, it's not... He didn't say this, but I'll say it for him. It's not politically correct today. Everybody wants the general kind of community type church that everybody can come to and feel good and comfortable about themselves. And nobody should be pressed. Does God ever put his thumb on you and begin to press you a little bit in a certain direction? Does God's voice start making you feel a little uncomfortable sometimes? I like that. I like to be an agency in speaking God's Word that makes people squirm a little bit from time to time. Get out of that box, that comfort zone, that rut. Everybody know what a rut is? It's our routine, right? But what is a rut? Well, one guy said the rut's just a grave with both ends kicked out. And really, it's just about what it is. Those people in it have very little life when you get into routine. We need to be kicked out of our routine. And so God gave us praying in the Spirit. And that's defined by the Word of God itself as speaking with other tongues. When did it happen? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, I like the suddenlies of God. Suddenly, there came from heaven the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them evidence. So what happened? A bunch of Jewish Christians. You've got to get this down. You know, you've got to understand this. Jewish Christians. How does a Jewish Christian look different from a Greco-Roman Christian? Well, let me just ask you this. If you've ever been to a synagogue, I have to tell you, I've never actually been to an organized synagogue service of a Orthodox or anything like that. I've seen pictures. But I notice that there's not near the pomp and circumstance that you find in the high church. In the high church, and this is where, believe it or not, That's where Catholicism took over. And many of our denominations follow almost exactly. There's an altogether different sound. In fact, you might say a Jewish congregation sounds a little bit, what'd you say, noisy? They get a little noisy. And in the believing Jewish church, the Christian, the messianic part, they came in altogether different. They had been trained up in this Jewish way, and how do we see Jews pray today? Anybody want to demonstrate a Jew praying? Huh? Yeah. Most of the time it's something like this. Stand by the wailing wall and daven. Right? And if you read their scriptures, they've got marks in there when you're supposed to dip and when you're supposed to go back. Yeah. 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 And so, what are they doing? Well, they're demonstrative. Say that. Demonstrative. What happened in the Greco-Roman church was we became extremely passive. And our prayers became extremely religious. Now, I've mentioned a long time ago that I think that davening was probably something that came from someone that was truly in the Spirit, that was animated, and probably a great teacher, that other people saw him in his animated prayers, and instead of following the spirit of it, they began to follow the motion of it. Does that happen to us? People start following the motion of things. I believe chanting came about the same way. You'll notice when Jonathan sings, quite often he'll just go off and he'll begin to sing something else. Well, the simple way of doing that, and by the way, the chanters also have certain things written so they know when to go up and when to go down and when to shake their voice and all that stuff. But you see, all of that was religion added after the fact. But in that early Jewish church, here's we've got this group of people that are demonstrative. They're demonstrative in their worship. And so here they are gathered together, 120 of them. They're gathered. And they're remembering the words that Jesus said when he said, "You wait in Jerusalem until I send the promise of the Father. For he will come and not many days hence, and when he's come, he will teach you all things. He'll bring to your remembrance the things I've said. He'll guide you into all truth and he'll show you things to come." And he said, "But you shall receive power." Say power.
Power.
It's hard to say power like power. It's not just power. It's power.
Power.
Dunamis. That's the Greek word for it. And even that's got power to it, doesn't it? That's because we get our word dynamite from it. Dynamic. He said, "You'll receive this dynamic power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses." He didn't say you'll start to witness. He said you'll be a witness. It's the difference between being a hireling and between being a shepherd. A witness just is, that's what he does. Someone who just goes about and once in a while witnesses, that's something he does because he thinks he's supposed to. But we are witnesses. And you go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so they're waiting together, 120 of them waiting, and they're talking to God, and they said, "God, where's the promise? You said the promise would come. We're waiting for the promise." Now that's my own interpretation of what might have been going on, see? "We worship you, O God. We give praise to you. We honor you and adore you. We wait for the promise of the Father that you will send to us. Where is it? And when the day of Shavuot, the same day that they received Torah on the Mount of Sinai, when that day was fully come, a feast that they were well used to observing, In fact, it's the reason there were so many nations in Jerusalem at that time, because this is one of the mandated feasts. They're there. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, suddenly, the Holy Ghost, there appeared from heaven. There's a sound, tongues of fire that sat upon each of them. And these people that are there talking to God, God, we love you, God, we love you, Adonai. Suddenly, they were filled. Now, here's the difference between a Greco-Roman Christian. When the Holy Spirit moves on a Greco-Roman Christian, he goes like this, When he moves on a Jewish Christian, the Jewish Christian begins even more animated. And he's used to having his voice heard around other believers. They all spoke out. The Bible said they lifted their voices in one accord. How many times does that happen in churches nowadays? Not much. You have to get into certain brands of churches to hear it happen. But in these Jewish church, they began to lift their voice and all glory to God. They knew something was going on. They'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that they had received in salvation suddenly was becoming a fullness in them. They were filled to overflowing. And they opened their mouth to praise God. And when they opened their mouth, where normally they might have said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, they opened their mouth and they said, and they looked around at each other and they went with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are people that were used to demonstrating their praise of God. Christian church demonstrating praise for God. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Now, you may get with it a little bit more. Beautiful song. What's the difference? Demonstration. I believe it's time for the church. I believe it's time for believers to begin to demonstrate what they believe. To begin to act like they believe it. To get joyous about it. Is there a place for crying? Absolutely. When I repent, I cry sometimes. And sometimes I have to repent. You have to repent? But there's also times when after I've repented, I'm aware that I'm accepted in the Beloved. And that brings a smile to my face. And it brings a little skit to my step. Amen? You know, we think that some street people are the ones that originated this. But it wasn't street people. Glory to God. It was God's people. Woo! And we began to get happy. And they were all filled. Well, you say, this speaking in tongues is such a mystery. Why would anybody want to do it? Well, we preached a whole message on that a while back. Why would anybody want to pray with tongues? Well, I want to tell you some of the benefits today of speaking in the Spirit. Listen to what this says. The gifts and the power are released in our lives. It triggers the release as we speak in tongues. There's a triggering of a release. You're giving over something that's one of your most precious things, and that's your pride at being fully in control. You're giving it to God. Wow. God, just take over my voice now. Take over my tongue. Take over and begin to say what you want to say through me. It triggers a release. In fact, that's kind of what Acts 1:8 says. But you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto all the uttermost parts of the earth. And just to demonstrate this, here's Peter. Kepha. This disciple that was always putting his foot in his mouth. He did. I mean, think of this. On one day, Jesus said, about Peter's confession. He says, that's the rock upon which I shall build my church. And just a few verses later, same discourse, he looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Peter. And Peter, who had been with Jesus and watched him throughout his trial, been with him through the whole ministry, but then saw his arrest and his trial, saw all the great things that he did, but then saw him completely humiliated and taken captive, saw him nailed to a cross. Oh yes, he saw him when he rose from the dead, but he also saw him go off into heaven. That same Peter, before Jesus went into heaven, Peter had seen Jesus, but he goes to his buddies one day and they said, Peter, what are you going to do today? He says, I'm going back to fishing. He reads in your King James Bible, I'm going fishing. But it doesn't mean that. He means, I'm going back and join up with my father's company and I'm going to start fishing again. The man I thought that was the Messiah and the one that I thought was going to restore Israel to its rightful place is gone. Now, this is that Peter that Jesus had appeared to in the upper room and breathed on him. And the Holy Spirit had come into him at that time. He was born again, but that same Peter had a spirit of defeat about him. But he remembered the words of Jesus because Jesus met him there on the seashore and said, Peter, tarry in Jerusalem till the promise comes. So Peter went back to Jerusalem. What were they doing there? Well, actually, they were hiding for fear of the Jews. But they were waiting. Now, after the day of Pentecost, after Shavuot, when this great manifestation had come upon Peter and all the rest of the disciples, Peter and John leave one day to go to the synagogue, could go to the temple to pray. And there, as they go into the gate, they see a man that's been laid there, lame. And the man expects to receive some money from them, so he's begging. Peter's walking, and the Bible says Peter fixed his eyes on the man. Now, I'm going to ask you what happened when Peter fixed his eyes on the man. What's going on? I want to tell you that normal thought processes are not in operation for Peter. Normal thought processes would say they just crucified my master for going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But Peter is hearing not from his intellect and his mind, but he's hearing from the Holy Spirit. He fixes his eyes. Go ahead and put that up in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Says the man's there on the ground. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them. He was begging for them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, please give to the lame man. Give to the poor, lame, sick man that can't work. Please, please. He asked an alms. And Peter, fastening. Say fastening. How would you fasten your eyes? Fasten your eyes on me. Good. Fastening his eyes on him. That's not just a picture of what happened to his eyes. It's what's going on underneath that you need to see. Because when he sees him, all of a sudden, this hearing ear that has been wakened up in him hears God. And God says, look at him. Peter stopped and looked at him. And I can hear him. Because see, I've been there. I can hear Peter saying, okay, Lord, looking at him, what's next? He says, tell him to look at you. Peter says, look on us. Next verse. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Yeah, he looked up and he went, fill it up. Right? Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What's the next verse say? Read it to me. Oh, can you feel it? Whoa, I feel the power right now. Glory to God. The power of God hit the man because Peter had heard what God said to do.
Yeah.
Where did that start? Well, it didn't start before he received this fullness of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It happened afterward. He had activated his ears to hear. He had triggered the release of God's power. And he began to hear God. He began to hear Him. And the Bible says that man went walking. Does it say that next? He leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Wow. Now, let's look at the results of it. Did it go over good? It did with the man that received his healing. What happened to Peter and John? They got called into question about it. They got thrown into jail for it. Just like you would have supposed might have happened, right? But, you know, see, we can't go by our mind because our mind would say, oh no, don't do that. Oh no, I wouldn't want to do that. If I did that and nothing happened, number one, I'd look like a fool. Right? You ever been there? Number two, if I did that and something did happen, I'm going to be politically incorrect. You see, that's why we need to hear from God, because God knows the beginning from the end.
Amen.
Yeah, you may go to jail for something you do in God's name, in the name of Yeshua, but you know what? You'll come out better for it, and you'll touch people as you do it. So the first thing is, gifts and power are released in our lives. And this comes through praying in the Spirit. The Bible also says, second point, our spirits are edified. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Do you need edification? What does it mean, Pastor? It means to be built up. Built up. Yes, you need it. I need it. We all need it. Another thing that we're told is that our intercession is enhanced by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. You want to be a good intercessor? How many times have you started to intercede for somebody and you feel for them, but you don't know how to pray for them? You think, oh, I don't know. I don't know how to pray. You know, we see some tough things around us. We see wives that are mistreated by husbands. How do you pray for them? How do you counsel them? There's tough ones. Well, I know some things, yeah. I mean, I'll tell any woman, if you're getting beat up by your husband, don't stay. Get out of there. But you know, I'm not going to tell her, go get a divorce. That's not my job. So I need wisdom, or moreover, she needs wisdom. Or the person I'm praying for needs to hear from God. So the Bible says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, and this is 1 Corinthians 14:14, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Are you willing to let that happen sometimes? Well, you don't understand what you're praying. But if you read Romans 8:26, it says, when we do that, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. What's an infirmity in this case? Not knowing what to do. We don't know what to do. We're weak. We don't know. In fact, it says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes that's because we just don't know the Word of God, and sometimes it's because things are hidden from us. But listen what it says. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings, that's tongues, which cannot be uttered. Another translation says, too deep for utterance. Another translation says, which cannot be uttered in articulate speech that people can understand. But in the language of the Spirit, God, who sees and understands, makes it happen. Another thing that praying in the Spirit does for us is that it glorifies Yeshua. Did you know that praying in the Spirit glorifies Yeshua? Listen to what the Bible says. John 16, 13 and 14. It says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He will show you things to come." 14 says, "He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Wow. Glorifies Jesus. "He shall glorify Me." That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Here's one that we all ought to like, is getting our spirits rested and refreshed. You ever need a rest? And how many of you want to go to a good spa? Get a good massage. Well, how about a spiritual spa? Amen? How about we all go to the spiritual spa? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 28:11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue He will speak to His people." Stammering lips and another tongue. Did you know that was written about in the Old Testament, as they call it? In the Tanakh? Yeah. Isaiah wrote about it. "With stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to His people, to whom He said, this is the rest." Say rest. Rest. This is rest. Praying in the Spirit's a rest. Praying in other tongues gives you rest. "This is the rest wherewith He may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing," yet they wouldn't hear. Even with all of this that God's given us, people still won't hear. Our faith's built when we pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." You build yourself up when you pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit's praying in other tongues. Goes on and it says there's another part to it. It says, "As we do that, we keep ourselves in the love of God." Verse 21. "Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We receive direction. I just told you about it. I'll be praying and I'll be walking around and all of a sudden, I know what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes it's simple things like, don't do this first, do this. But that's direction. How many of you know that's one of the biggest problems people have, is getting things in right priority? Have you ever picked up the television remote and had the Holy Spirit speak to you and say, "Don't turn it on"? All right, Lord. That's direction. That's direction. Have you ever started to watch a movie and the Lord said, "Don't watch that movie"? That's direction. Have you ever had the Lord say, "Look at this guy over here. I want you to stop and give him $5. "I've never seen that guy, Lord. He probably spent it on pot. I ain't going to do that." No. The Holy Spirit said, I was driving down the street one day. I saw a guy and the Lord said, "Give him $5. I had to make a U-turn and go back and give him $5. Direction of the Holy Spirit. That comes when I'm praying in the Spirit, thinking about the things of God, trusting Him, hearing His voice. The Bible says when you pray, 1 Corinthians 14:13, when you speak in an unknown tongue, pray that you may interpret. Ask the Lord as you pray. What is it I'm praying about? What do you want me to hear, God? What do you want me to hear now? See, we only think of interpretations in the way they manifest most times, where somebody stands up in a service, prays in a tongue, and then interprets. That's good. But there's other ways that happens. When we're out doing our thing, we're praying. We say, "Lord, I pray that I may interpret. I ask you to show me. I ask you to reveal to my conscious mind what's going on here," and He'll show you things. That may have been exactly what happened to Peter that day. He may have been praying in the Spirit as he went. I was sitting in Grenada one day and we'd just been praying in the Spirit. The island of Grenada had just gone through this huge revolution and the Cubans had tried to take over. You all remember this, don't you? Back a number of years ago. And Henrietta and I were down there in the island, staying in the house of a Supreme Court justice. And we thought, boy, this is really something. But we'd had a prayer meeting, praying in the Spirit. And as we were praying, all of a sudden, I mean to tell you, this understanding started to come into me that something big was about to happen. Something, I needed to get ready for something. And I can still remember my own response to it was I got short of breath. I began to almost hyperventilate. I was so amazed by what God was doing inside of me, refilling me, speaking to me. And He said, get ready. And about that time, there was a knock on the door. We went to the door and opened the door, and there was a balding man there that had a big knot on his head. I still remember he had this big, it was more on his forehead, I guess. And it had happened as a result of being beat by the communists during this revolution. He was a political enemy, and the communists had beat him. And they beat him so many times that this knot was permanently there on his head. It never went down. And he gave me his name, and he says, I understand that there's a minister of the gospel from the United States that's here right now. I'd like to talk to him. And I went out and sat down. He had a couple of women that have come with him. And we sat down and began to talk with him. And he was kind of into the Baha'i kind of thing, that, you know, all these different religions he'd studied. He knew a little bit about Jesus. But as we talked to him, and as I shared with him, he was actually a candidate for president of the island, a prime minister. Yeah, prime minister. He actually was one of the key leaders of a political party, so he would have been a candidate for prime minister. And as we prayed with him, the Lord said, you need to find out if he's born again. Because right at first he acted like he knew all about it. Well, that's when he shared with me that he had never received Jesus. And so the Lord opened the door there that day where I led he and the two or three ladies that were with him all to the Lord at one time. Well, you see, it was preparation from the Spirit of God. That happens. He gives us direction as we pray in the Spirit. And listen to this last one. We develop our hearing ears. It doesn't happen all at once. We just begin to hear more clearly. We develop our hearing ears when we pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit. I've told you this many times before. Much of what I preach, I believe, comes from having prayed in the Spirit a lot before I come before you. I believe much of what I say is as a result of that. Not direct interpretation, but still, in a way, it's what leads me and guides me into the different areas that we talk about. It enhances my teaching gift many, many times more than what I actually have naturally. You understand what I'm saying? So let me ask you this. Here's what it says. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? Well, that sounds like that's an argument against praying in tongues. But how about, rather than either or, how about both? If I come to you praying in the Spirit, and I pray for you in the Spirit, and then God gives me interpretation, would that be good? That'd be great, because then that would give you direction and guidance. I'm on my last couple of points here. In fact, I just finished the last point, but I've got to ask you some questions about it then. Seeing all of these benefits are ours, all of this direction and guidance can be given us. People always ask this question. I've had people ask me more than once, do I have to pray in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you ever had anybody ask you that? Do I have to pray in tongues? I remember one preacher said, somebody came to me and he looked at me like this. Do I have to pray in tongues? Well, why would anybody not want to? Well, obviously, it's because of religious stigma. People have attached something to it that's not really there. This is God's gift. Let me just tell you, no, you don't have to. You get to. See, anytime you look at something, do I have to pray? No, you get to pray. Do I have to take communion? No, you get to take communion. You get to take the Lord's Supper. Do I have to go to the feasts? No, you get to go to the feasts. Do I have to keep the Sabbath? No. It's a delight. And so it is with praying in other tongues. And the Lord will love you just as much if you never pray in tongues. The Lord will love you just as much. He'll love you as much as He always has. But let me just say this to you. You won't get to enjoy Him as much if you don't pray in the Spirit. You say, well, I don't understand. There is an avenue that's open to you through praying in the Spirit that every believer needs to enter in. Every believer needs this. Before you ask, I have to ask everybody here, are you born again? Is there anyone here today that is not born again? That would be putting the cart before the horse in an ultimate way to try to get filled with the Spirit if you weren't born again. Is everyone here today born again? Could I see the hands of the born again people? Everyone that's born again. Well, we've got them. It's a unanimous decision. But I dare say that everyone here today does not claim the absolute infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And it can be yours. It can be yours. If you're born again, it's like everything else that we receive from God. How do we receive from God? By faith. By faith. What have we been learning on Friday night about faith? Faith without works is dead. So there needs to be a corresponding action when we ask. What does the Bible say will happen to us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? We've asked God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit filled them. And what did they do? They received power and they began to speak. Remember the demonstrative Jewish Christians, they're speaking. I always think of Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. You remember that? How he'd talk and wave his arms at God and talk and score some of the things he said. We remember it's Hollywood. But nevertheless, there was a pretty good portrayal of Jewish exuberance, wasn't there? You see him walking and talking and, you know, he demonstrated everything he did. So with us, if we begin to speak as we've asked the Lord, begin to speak expecting to release prayer language, begin to speak expecting that other tongues are going to come out. I don't know what they'll sound like. I can't teach you to speak in tongues. I can just teach you to surrender. But I want every believer to pray in the Spirit because of the tremendous power that's released by doing it. I don't want any believer to be robbed of the blessing of praying in other tongues. Now, I know there are scriptures that say, does everyone pray in tongues in the church? No. That means, does everyone in the church have a ministry out loud of praying in tongues? But it doesn't say that everyone won't speak in other tongues as a part of their own power-releasing language, a prayer language before God. I want everyone to do it. I want you to begin to speak expecting to release your prayer language in the Spirit. Some people receive fluency just like this. Other people receive up, ta-top, ta-top, and maybe that's all they get for a while. Is that okay? It's a gift. Take what you get and begin to use it. Begin to use it. Don't quit because you feel like, well, there's not much else there. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I can tell you stories about how the Lord has taken me and actually changed the language completely from something I'd never spoken before. All the time, things changing and evolving in this. I want you to do it. I want you to receive it. Use what you receive. Remember this, speaking in tongues is not the goal. It's a tool that's given us when we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You need to receive the fullness. Let's stand and pray. Is there anyone here today that would say, I'm ready? I'm ready to have fluency in tongues. I'm ready to have a release in tongues. I've never had it before, but I'd like it. Is there anyone here today that would say that? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anyone here today that say, I've had a little bit, but I need more?
That was me.
That's you. Praise God. Is there anybody to say, I've never spoken in tongues? I've never even heard it preached before. But I'd like to receive. Anybody? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. As a unit, we're going to believe together today. Will you say this with me? Say, I believe. I'm not a doubter. I trust. I believe. Let me ask you this. How many of you have received, but you don't use it like you should? You don't pray like you should in the Spirit. Amen. Let's begin to, all of us, open up. So, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, you've seen Cherie here raise her hands today and say that this is what she would like to receive. She desires it because it's a promise from God. Because it will open up. And listen, if you're like her and you haven't raised your hands, just begin to do what I tell her to do. Just begin to do what the Spirit leads us to do in this place today. And those of you that haven't been using your gift as you should, I want you to open up and just let it come forth with fluency. Let it come forth with power today. Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua that Jesus, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, will be glorified in this house today. Lord, we're not seeking tongues. We're seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God. I pray that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That goes for everyone here today. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Cherie has spoken, Trey has spoken, and they said they want to be filled to overflowing. They want to be filled with overflowing. And so we ask you right now, say it with me, say, fill me.
Fill me,
Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Give me the release of the praying in the Spirit. I surrender myself right now. I surrender in the name of Yeshua. I surrender. And I want you to just look up and it just like you're expecting to receive something, because that's what we're expecting. Everyone do it that you want to receive. Look up. Look up. And say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Father. Oh, I bless you, God. I worship you, Master. I love you. Begin to let your own praise just come forth to him. Tell him how much you love him. How much. And listen, I'm talking about out loud. I know how we are. We're that group of people that praise silently. No, no. Open your mouth. Get into it like a Jewish believer would. I love you. I worship you. I honor you. I adore you. You're more than enough. You're the great I am. You're the loving God. We worship you. Oh, don't you wish you could say more? Don't you wish that somehow you could speak out the way you love him in more complete terms? Now I just want you to just begin to sing to him. Only don't use words. Just give him a tune. I am. I'm doing this to get your voice working. Get your voice working. Ooh, ooh, I love you, I love you. Now keep the voice going, and as you do, just start letting the tongue go. Mohula pata sike la no chile tete ki. Kohoro roro ria rara sika lo. Inemo sila tule ame. Rasu rasu rasu. Rishi rashi kalo no sike. Rohuna numo tike la. Ya paturo suprante se te papota lata. Ye ke suta ruhuta mone. Open your mouth, Trey, and begin to speak it out. Ye katala si te kuru. Rondo dovo rosiaran. All of you believers that pray in the Spirit, pray out loud right now. cover up the silence. Shomoshol de la si rabu rakama riske dondro salode vadola monamakata doro dodara dana bogota. They lifted their voices in one accord. Ye she loto salamane miki atoro saprande roshi gavande la dala bogudi bagata rabasande. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've not been doing it for a while, now's a good time to open it up again. Open up this gift. God doesn't take it away. Yamasuko lamata. You can stop and you can start. You can sing. You can talk. You can pray for a while with your understanding and go back to tongues. It is a gift. Yamasho lamone mekela da dolosi pabra dondaravagande. No, 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 makote. Remember, God loves you just as much whether you pray in tongues or not, but you don't have the same ability to love on Him as you do with other tongues. Amosha tolomasite. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Is that more what you've been looking for, Cherie? Is it closer? Is it coming out clearer?
It's coming.
Coming clearer and more and more. Is it coming from you? Praise God. Hallelujah. You just keep doing what we've been talking about. Just worship God. This is what it's all about. It's all about worshiping Him and singing praises to Him and letting your voice go forth in other tongues that He can just take over. And that activates that hearing ear in us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, lift your hands in the air and say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Yeshua.
Thank you, Yeshua.
You are the Lord. You are my master.
Now
just receive this. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone said, Amen.